Hello and welcome to the Red or Dead podcast. It's Andre Dixon here with my friends Migos, Maria and Suki. We've been away for a little while. We've missed you guys because we've had to cover various different things, mainly me partying in Miami a lot before these guys have a go at me in any form of way. But we are back. How are you guys? I've missed you.
I'm good. I feel partying doesn't do it enough justice. It was like full on, wasn't it? You were everywhere.
My God. Like, honestly, I my voice is...
Your voice sounds so croaky, to be honest.
My voice is
I was hoping you might come back with a Miami accent. I'm quite disappointed.
Oh no. I stay completely British there because it's like a green pass for everything. You can speed. I'm just not saying for anyone to do this. So don't say it's my fault if it happens. But I personally have got away with a lot because of my accent there. So I will continue to be Lord Chestington II.
Yeah, you put on that fake British accent, don't you?
Everyone does that, though, don't you, when you're speaking to an American.
I've become more British than ever. Then no.
You were not like
Italian. Yeah.
You start saying stuff like pip pip. And like you become this character, like bloody, what's that? The Joker's gone. It's gone. I tried.
Never mind.
I tried to be the character in the KP Nuts with the monocle.
Oh yeah.
And the top hat as well. But no, how have you guys been? Tell us, like, obviously, what you know. We've missed a week in theory of podcasting, but there's been a lot to catch up on. I think we've got like 3 games to be able to quickly discuss. Like, obviously, the training game against Arsenal, that was quite light work you've got to beat these small teams, these small clubs, you've got to beat them. And then obviously we had our game against Porto, which is a massacre, and then obviously Southampton. But guys, before we get into the football stuff, how have you been and what have you been up to since our last chat?
All good. I have had the pleasure of going to a couple of football matches, not Liverpool. Luckily, Traitor. I gave away. I need to keep an eye on what's going on and feedback to the boss. Yeah, of course. I mean, none of the match is irrelevant, but still. And yeah, I'm glad. I know we've already spoken about West Ham, but I did have a ticket for Liverpool West Ham, but I ended up having to sell it on, and I'm kind of glad I didn't go to that one. But I did go to a National League game last week. I froze. I was so cold. I went and saw Bromley v Yeovil. As you know, there's a little Yeovil connection.
Oh yes.
And it's always good fun. But I tell you what, watching that league is really good fun. I really enjoy going to those games, but absolutely freezing. I've never been so cold in my life. Actually, I went to last year's Bromley fixture as well, and I was freezing. But it got to the point where I'm just like, I really need to leave. But Yeovil won, so that was great. They've got some good little players in there, too. Some good players.
We need to go to
some
that.
Some Premier League players play for them on loan in the past, because they used to be in the Championship. Now they've dropped like down to the fifth tier. But it's good fun, you know. Completely different atmosphere. The language is very fruity at those kind of matches.
Oh.
And there's some big hatred, but still. Hatred, I mean, again, between the fans, not nothing dodgy. Yeah, yeah. So I saw that. And then I also went to the Palace v Villa game on the weekend.
Yeah, you did see Steven Gerrard at Club Legends.
I did see Gerrard. tell you what, though, I know Villa won, but neither team really. I was a bit like, oh, this game isn't... They weren't fantastic either side, to be honest. But yeah, Crystal Palace lost, Villa won. It was good to see Gerrard. He was sitting opposite me, so that was good.
Did you bow?
No, I didn't. But I was sitting right next to the Aston Villa fans, and I'll tell you something, they were so loud. It was unbelievable. And they were singing like Gerrard chants and stuff. So that was quite interesting.
He's getting his he's doing his apprenticeship there. It definitely is.
Yeah, they lost yesterday though. They lost yesterday.
But it's only 2-1. They lost
2-1. And City scored some bangers. So
yeah.
So 2-1 yesterday.
We don't like him as serious.
Yeah, they won 2-1 with Palace, and I don't know what the previous result was, but right.
Yeah, they've won the first two under him, and then lost City, which I guess isn't an embarrassment.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say one more thing, actually.
Yeah,
sorry,
go for it.
My other thing that I've been doing.
In terms of my week, what have I been doing? I'm all right. I actually went to a music festival in London. Well, not festival, a gig the other week. I think it was during the Arsenal game. And I went to, have you heard of a guy called Black Coffee? South African DJ. Yeah, I went to see Black Coffee, and he's got a really good last album out, which is incredible.
Oh, yeah, that's when we last spoke, we went on our Kate Renata rent.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And so I went to see Black Coffee. I was expecting a really good show. Tickets were quite expensive for a normal gig. They're like £90, which is quite expensive for like a festival. So we're really, really excited. Got there early. And he was on, it was like a day thing. The day thing started at like midday and it went on till 11. So we were just really excited. And he only played like two or three of his own songs. How crazy is that? Why would you run a gig and not do any of your own songs? I just don't understand. And one of the three songs he played was an old song of his. So out of his new album, which is incredible, which has some really big name features like Usher, Cassie, Celeste and co, Diplo, all those, he played two songs from that. And I think they were both about 30 seconds each. I was so disappointed. So weird.
I think, you know what? One thing about like these live gigs now, I think that there seems to be like a lot of rules, obviously, about, you know, where to stand, what to do, how long these sets have got to last, all those types of things. But it shouldn't actually, I think because we haven't had anything for the last year, then really, like, I expect people to be able to go all out to give the best show ever. So, yeah. But the shows that I've been seeing, like, you know, with the one that you experienced, there was a show with a Latin artist who fell down the steps. All the way down the steps. He's okay, thank God. But it's just like the live shows I've been hearing aren't great. You know, there's been Omarion and all those old school R&B artists. They put on a show in Miami when I was over there, and it was just like, apparently it was like terrible. Marion's bit was really slow. It's just like either people are out of practice or, you know, but we have to keep.
I think in the UK they've been okay. Like the UK gigs and festivals, like I had a good summer where I went to a couple of festivals and they were quite good. I don't know. I just can't understand why you'd release an album within the last year, but then when you do a live gig, you wouldn't play any of your own songs. Surely the crowd are there to see your songs. He's playing, like, don't get me wrong, some old school classics like Music Sounds Better With You, One More Time, and all that. And if you want that, it's great. But the reason I bought a ticket was to go see him and his music. Daft Punk from the 90s or Stardust from the 90s. But
are you demanding your own money back or private?
I'm just a bit confused. He's obviously done like an Ibiza DJ set because he does do DJ sets at Ibiza, but you've got to make that clear. You can't sell it as your sort of album gig or tour, or whatever, and then play only like 2 30-second intervals from your tracks from your new album.
We need answers. We need answers.
We do. Hashtag Black Coffee, get in touch. Real Black Coffee, get in touch.
So just onto the football. Let's catch up with everything that's been going on. Obviously, as I mentioned, we had those games that we've. You know, we've missed on the podcast, but obviously we've been very much seeing them. However, we've been able to manage to see it. But Suki, if you could go through, like, just summarise some of the games. So obviously, you know, going to Arsenal, then obviously it was Southampton. No, sorry, it was Porto, then Southampton. Just like, because the games were quite. Tell me if I'm wrong. Similar with with the performance where it's just like, you know. Not that we ran over everyone, but like they're all different victories. But the main thing for me is that the squad is being rotated and used well. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, it's been quite good. We've obviously still had injuries, but in terms of the teams he's gone for, he's obviously gone for a similar back four. I think Tsimikas got a game in one of those games, but he's gone back to Rabo. And then I think he played Konate in one of the games, but other than that, he's stuck with Matip. And then Ox featured for a bit. Ox pulled out some good performances. He played against Arsenal. And then you've got Fabinho and Thiago who have just been playing throughout. And then you've got Hendo came in for the last couple of games. Yeah, they've all, like you said, they've all been quite similar. We won the Arsenal game 4-0. We won the Porto game 2-0, but with, I'd say, not much riding on the game. So it was more like a training session 2-0. And then we won.
I love that. Talk that talk. I love it.
And then we beat Southampton 4-0 and then Everton at Goodison 4-1 yesterday. So, yeah, there's some big results in that. I think we've been solid. I think Mane's looked great at the start, but then also he does have bits where he drops off. So I think he played well in the Southampton game. I think he played well in the Arsenal game. But I think in the Everton game, he struggled a little bit at the end yesterday. Jota has been unbelievable. I've been saying, actually, I probably owe an apology to Jota.
And I would like to hear it. Thank you very much.
I didn't think Jota was good enough to start for us. I didn't think he was doing the Bobby job well enough. And I was a bit disappointed when Bobby got injured because I just really think Bobby adds to our team. Bobby adds to our play and link-up play. But Jota seems to be, with Jota doing that position rather than Mane when Firmino's not in, we seem to play better. Jota seems to have the ability to do it better than Mane, and then Mane can just sort of concentrate on his stuff.
Yeah, I think that with Jota, you know, just in particular, just over the last few games, I think that the team has adjusted to working around him now. I think the team plays a bit more, not direct in, like, obviously, we're talking about long ball, but, like, it's just getting the ball up quicker. So yeah. I think what's happening before, and then also, like, you know, if we've got to give a mention to Thiago on these things, and obviously a special mention to Ox, leader Ox, as I call him, where they're not dithering on the ball a lot. They're literally just getting the ball up as quick as possible to the strikers and then obviously joining in as well. And I think that, to me, I think that the utilisation of the squad where, you know, Minamino's getting some minutes now, you know, so therefore, like, people aren't going to be cold when it comes to the African nations happening. I just think that the team, the rhythm of the team, so it's like a plug and play. So, like, whoever comes in just does the same job. You know, they all know each other. They know their movements. I think they were saying that on Amazon yesterday. That
I feel we're really, us, City and Chelsea, obviously, are the really well-drilled teams. I think us more so than, no, I'm not saying we're better than City, Chelsea, but in terms of the players knowing what each player is meant to be doing, I think Liverpool are really good at that. That's obviously from years of playing together, probably because of lack of signings as well, and the players just playing together. They seem to know what they're doing. And yeah, I've been so happy for Ox to come in because I think Ox has had some big games, and I think Ox can be a good player if he needs time. The worry is just, is he going to get that time? I think Thiago's really stepped up. I've always been a Thiago fan. I've always felt he, once he has a few games, he plays well, and I think he has been controlling games, and he scored that absolute beauty against Porto, was it? Did that ball even touch the ground? I'm not even sure it did. I've never seen a ball hit so cleanly. And then just nestling the bottom right-hand corner. I really like Thiago. And Hendo's been immense as well. Oh. Hendo coming in yesterday and the game before with that goal he scored yesterday against Everton. And then also the assist for Mo. Not many people have spoken that, but the assist for Mo for that first goal was just amazing. It's just like the right way to pass, early ball, right position. And it just made sure Coleman was nowhere to be found and Mo could get away. We've been really good, I think. The one thing that does concern me is in all these games that we've sort of won quite convincingly, I don't think they've been our best performances. I think we've offered chances at the back, and actually Ali's pulled some great save for us at the back and sort of showed us his worth after his mistakes in the West Ham game. I think if it wasn't for Ali, we don't keep three clean sheets in those games. I just feel we're leaving too many one-on-one situations, and that concerns me because the better teams will take advantage of those. Like
I think that's what cost us in the West Ham game as well, really, with their second goal where they sort of got through one and one. You can't expect Alisson to save every single one. I just don't think something doesn't seem right defensively. For me, it's always the best defence wins you the league. So I can't put my finger on it, but we're leaving too much. Verge has looked great for me. I don't think it's Verge. Maybe it's this high line and Matip with his lack of pace isn't as good at that, but something's not right. I wouldn't mind maybe seeing, when he's back, Gomez play a little bit. But
well, I mean, that's what I was going to come in on, Maria. Like, I was going to come to you on this one. What I'm concerned about is that, like, you know, not to be a sourpuss in any form of way, like, I'm really excited the fact that the way that we're playing, but I'm worried about Gomez not getting minutes. Because it
I think
seems
he got
like...
injured again.
He's out. Oh. He's injured.
Oh, is he out? Okay. I missed that one. All right, well, concern gone now.
He got injured in training.
That's solved.
Yeah, I know. It's solved. If only life could be that easy. But because what it was is that I was thinking that Canute's coming in and getting minutes, but like I really do rate Gomez, and I think that obviously for the future, that you know, because I'm still nervous about Matip every single time he plays. I always think, oh, is it this the game he's gonna, like, if he can, you know what, I'll say this, let me put this in here. If he can get Matip can get us through Christmas, this Christmas period in January, then I'll be happy if whatever happens. Like if he gets injured as he normally does, then, you know, then at least we have an able deputy in Canute, and then you have obviously Gomez.
I actually thought Canate, as well as
Canate or Canute, I'll give him his name. Frederick Canute.
Yeah. As well as he played against United in that first game, and that was an immense performance, but also United were terrible, that's why as well. I thought he had a weak game against Southampton, actually. I didn't think he had the strongest game. And maybe he just needs more time. Maybe
he still needs time. He's still a bit rough and ready, isn't he?
Yeah. But I'd put, don't get me wrong, Matip's been incredible. I really like Matip. I think he's been solid for us. I think he's up there, but I just can't put my finger on what's wrong. So
yeah,
we've been given this many chances.
I think that the problem is that we are doing the high line, and we have started to do that recently. We've obviously done it when we won the league. I think the team actually accepts that they're going to, you know, we're not going to be that stout defence that we had in the season before we won the league, when we won the Champions League, where, like, you know, not many people can get past us. I think that we've played differently now, so we allow, because we are so offensive, like, you know, you've got definitely Trent moving forward so far, and then also because he's in the middle as well, like, someone has to be able to cover for him on the right-hand side, so it leaves a bit of a hole in the middle. So people are going to get chances against us, but the thing is that, can you outscore us? I don't think so. You know,
we're not going to always score this many, and I'd like us to be tighter. Look, there's not much I can complain about when we're keeping clean sheets, but it's just when I look at our Premier League record, I just think 12 goals conceded in 14 games is probably too much. And actually, when you compare us to the likes of Chelsea, where it's only 5 goals in 14 games.
But they're hardly scoring. That's the only thing. It's like,
but you still want a tighter defense. Look, in my opinion, defense wins the league.
But what is that? Like, from another point of view, as you mentioned, we have like had several clean sheets. So it's like I think that what it is, Zuki, is that my take is that because we're so offensive, then you take away some of their, you know, especially when it comes to Trent, their left wing, you know, attack is taken out. So therefore, like, you kind of nullify what they're going to do, unless they're just going to do, which I'm surprised that more people don't do this, which is like pretty much a long ball over the top and then just, you know, a straight foot race with them and Verge or Matip.
Or Matip lose. I think they did that. There was a player, I think it was against Southampton, actually. Matip had a one-on-one race with one of their players. And it wasn't direct to the goal. It was literally on the halfway line, but it's the last man. And they're running towards the edge of the pitch, so it was only the sort of throwing that you could give away. But Matip had a couple of yards on this guy, and this guy just made it really easily. And I can't remember him. I think it was Armstrong or something. And I can't remember Armstrong being that fast. And I was like, wow, that is Matip's weakness. I think that's where Gomez is better. I really like Gomez, to be fair. Gomez has done a job for us in the championship winning season, in the Champions League winning season. And I think because Matip's been injured quite a bit,
in those seasons. I think he played most of the games, but Gomez has to play a lot of games as well. So I think Gomez can do a job. So it'd be good to get him fit as well.
I talked to Maria about one of her favourite players who she's been raving about, Thiago. Maria's been ragging on Thiago for the longest period of time.
Hang on. All I said was I wanted to see more of him, and I did say that I wanted to see more of him because I felt we hadn't seen what he's capable of, and I wanted to see what he could do before I passed judgment, and I think that's very fair. And I do think that the reason that he's doing so well now, because he has proved himself, I have decided that I'm now bored, is because he's grown his hair. He looks like a different player now. So he's gone back to how he used to look when he was good elsewhere, and now we're all good. It's all
it
good.
Could be that's like Samson
it's
in his locks.
Completely to do with right? his hair. Yeah, absolutely. No, he's really important.
But he's moved on. He's moving the ball quick now, isn't he? He's not hanging on to it as long.
There's a different. I think that it's almost like something suddenly clicked for him, and it's changed the way that he's playing, because it was one of the issues was that he was saying that the game was very fast and it was different here to what he was used to, and I think he's settled in and he's. He's done something that's changed that, but still kept his magic. And I can't take that away from him.
He's the best passer in our team, in my opinion. As in, you just watch the simple passes, and it is straight to the player. I hate it when you're trying to play football or when you're watching football and your team's trying to break, and then there's ball played, and it's just the player has to wait for the ball to come to him, and it just slows everything down. And too many of players in the Premier League generally tend to do that. And you watch Thiago, and it is straight, it's direct right to the person. And I really like that. It just keeps the game flowing and moving.
Yeah, I would put Hendo.
Yeah, Hendo's been unbelievable.
Think Hendo's passing, because he set up one of them, if I'm right,
Mo's got
yesterday. So yeah. Mo's first goal with the first time pass. And then also, remember what that pass, that exquisite, delicious pass that he put in for Man United. And I think he set up another one as well in one of the other games.
Yeah, I think he's got a few assists this season.
And now that he's scoring. So I think that Hendo getting up to full speed, because I was a little bit worried about him, because he seemed like he was a bit slow and rusty. And I was thinking, oh God, is this has he hit the wall now? And he seems like he's got better than
he
ever.
Got better. If he was
a foreign player, people in this country would be ranting and raving about it. If his name was De Bruyne, because he ain't doing much different. To be honest with you, I rate Hendo highly. There's a knockoff straight away as soon as you get the person's English, because obviously it's related to the England team and all those other things. But this guy is the actual captain for a reason. Because he's not only keeping everyone motivated, keeping the ball moving, but the passing through to the strikers is absolutely amazing.
I've noticed he's getting further at the pitch this season. And it's really helping him, because he's getting more on the right side as well. So, which I think I personally can't remember seeing too much of previously, but now you see him sort of delivering crosses in quite a lot. And I quite like that. And not only that, is he then covers for Trent as well in the back. So he's sort of all over the pitch. He's great at the moment.
I think him coming back has actually solidified the midfield, obviously our strongest midfield. I think everyone's kind of thought that, Thiago, Hendo and Fabinho would be our strongest midfield for, and then obviously there was that debate. I'm sure if Ellie was here, he'd be talking about Keita coming in.
I think Keita does get back. I think there is.
You think if he's fit, who starts out of him and Thiago?
I think Thiago starts, but I you can't start those three every game, because especially when there's two games a week. I think there's four, and then there's, or even when you've got Harvey back, I think there's five solids that play, and then I'd be happy any three of them playing, because you rotate.
It's good that you've got the rotation, isn't it?
Yeah, we need the rotation. I don't think we can think of it as. And I think this is where we've struggled in the past, because we haven't rotated. We haven't had enough depth, and that's maybe led to injuries as well. But you need to, when you're playing two games a week, you need to be able to rotate. And so there needs to be games where Thiago doesn't start. There needs to be games where Hendo doesn't start. Hendo didn't start against, I can't remember, was it Southampton or was it Arsenal? He didn't start one of those two games. Right.
He didn't start against Arsenal.
Yeah, so I think you need that. Hendo's like getting 30 as well. He's had a few injuries. I don't think we can expect these players to be playing every single game. Fabinho probably can, to be fair. Fabinho's still only like 20.
But we don't need to play him, any of them against, in the next two games, obviously we'll talk about it in a second. In the next two games, obviously games against Wolves we have to play, but against AC Milan we can actually rest our players.
We should be resting against AC. The midfield's looking okay, touch wood. I like Thiago. I'm with Ellie on Keita, actually. Let's see when Keita's back. I think Keita's been unbelievable for us this season. And actually, Ellie pointed something out to us the other day, which was, obviously when Fabinho plays, he elevates everybody else in midfield because of the work he does at the back and he's covering, and it allows the other players to be a bit more free. They don't have to track back as much, understandably. Most of Keita's play this season has been without Fabinho because Fabinho was injured or isolating or whatever. So Keita has worked really hard for the team. He's tracked back. He's done quite a lot. His stats on interceptions and all that have been unbelievable. I'm quite excited to see what Keita's going to be like when he's back and Fabinho's playing. But the other thing I will say is, and I will caveat this, he needs to not get injured again. If he's going to pick up another one or two injuries before the end of the season and after he's back, then I do think we should sell him at the end of the season.
Well, here's my take on this as well. I think that it's either luck or by design, that the system, how I look at it, is that the system is more important than the actual players. So how I look at it is that, you know, people come in and it's a plug and play. So if someone's injured, then there's someone to be able to replace you. If someone needs rest, then someone to replace you. And then the beat moves on. Obviously, there's different dynamics each player gives to that midfield, because I think this is where we're going to win or lose the league. I think none of us are worried about up front. We're ticking along very nicely. Defence, okay. You know, we've got there's no injuries. We've been keeping some clean sheets. Obviously, it could be better, but, you know, to be honest, we're winning. You know, there's no major problems there. The midfield is the key to us actually winning this league. And I just feel that, I don't know if you agree, but the way that it's been utilised at the moment, and this includes Minamino in some form or way, because obviously, you know, he's kind of in between the two. And then obviously Bobby when he comes back. Do you feel that all being fit, that is going to win us the league? That with the midfield the way it's running, because you feel that we've got like the strongest midfield, because people are ranting and raving about Saul, he's rubbish since he's come here.
I'm trying not to think about the league at the moment. I'm trying not to put that pressure on, because obviously you don't know what could happen. If you ask me, do I think in terms of the 11 that we have, do I think we have the strongest 11 out of the three teams? Yes, yeah. I think we do. I think we have the ability to be able to blow any team away. Like, we could blow a City away, we could blow a Chelsea away. But the issue is something, I don't know what it is it's clearly a mindset thing. I think last season has impacted us quite a bit. But you saw it in the Everton game yesterday. For that first 30 minutes, we were incredible. I thought should have been 4 or 5-0. But then something happened. We just gave them a sniff and they got their goal, and then we had a really poor last 15 minutes of that second half, and all of a sudden I was worried. And we did it against Brighton as well, and sort of West Ham to an extent. We didn't do that two seasons ago, and I don't understand how when you're so on top in that first half hour, how all of a sudden you can just give them that 15 minutes. So that's a bit that worries me. Just now, the one thing I think is in our sort of favour, and I think it's good that the players are thinking about it game by game, but we are building a momentum. The West Ham result obviously is a bit of a sort of sticks out a little bit from that. But look, I don't think we started the season off too greatly. I don't think we played very well against Chelsea. I think I definitely saw that as that put me off a little bit, because playing Chelsea at Anfield against 10 men for most of the game, I feel we should have won, but I don't think we we showed up really. I don't think we attacked. We didn't create enough chances. And against City, although Mo scored that unbelievable goal, I don't think we were very good, especially in that first half. City played like they were at home in that first half. But what I've seen over the last month, 6 weeks, is us building momentum. And we've looked stronger and better. Like, we were leaking goals against Milan and who else did we play in the Champions League? Atletico, Milan and Atletico in the Champions League early. And then sort of recently, we've looked a bit stronger. So I think we are building momentum. The players are getting used to playing with each other again. And I think that that's a good sign. So, yeah.
So I'm excited. I mean, Maria, you know, from what you've actually been seeing, obviously, we'll talk about the games that are coming up. Obviously, I was saying to Suki, obviously, earlier, that the team has actually been playing in a similar style, and it's been, as I said, like a plug and play, where, you know, the team's moving and getting the ball quicker to the forwards. And I think that was part of the problem. Like, Thiago, like, dilly-dallying. I mean, obviously, I know he did that in Southampton, where he almost cost us a goal. But, like, on the most part, he moves the ball quicker on now. And then I think there's no more questions about Robinson, whether he should be playing or not. I think that it's good to have just two left-backs that we actually, you know, can trust. But what is your view about, like, the overall team? Obviously, we were talking about Jota earlier. What's your view about how the team's performing up until this point, and then we'll look forward?
I mean, initially there was inconsistency, which was really frustrating. So I felt like, and I think everyone can agree, it was that thing where we win a couple, we draw one, and you know, we were on a high, like we were on a high from the Man United match, and then we just had a complete downer for a couple of weeks. And that inconsistency is really frustrating as a fan. And that, again, we spoke about it before, this mentality against some of the smaller teams, which leads them into trouble.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense, because they need to be going in and playing the same against every team, regardless of who it is. So be it Brighton, be it Man United, their standard should remain. It shouldn't be, oh, we're only playing Brighton, or we're only playing, I don't know, whoever, Fulham or somebody, so we're going to just lower our standard or be happy with one goal, because those are the teams that are super hungry and want to make a point. So Liverpool need to make sure that there's that consistency, because even with, you know, the performance has improved in recent games, I still feel nervous going into every game. Really? So, yeah, I do. I mean, I trust that they're going to, it's a bit of a weird one. I trust that they're going to win. Like, I know they can win, but then it's that nervousness of, you know, they go 2-0 up like yesterday. So I was like, yeah, okay, we're 2-0 up. But I didn't sit back and think, oh, yeah, yeah.
Switch off, don't they, for a second.
See that's same with me. So I don't feel the nerves going into game. I thought we were going to beat Everton. I didn't have any issues with that. And after the first half hour, I was so excited. I thought this. I was like, my prediction of 3-0 isn't going to be enough here. I thought it was going to be 4-5-6-0. And then all of a sudden, at 2-1, I was like, oh God, is this the Brighton game all over again? Is this going to be like West Ham?
But don't you think that we from another point of view,
still missed really easy chances as well, which is really frustrating.
But the thing is that I was thinking is that I think that sometimes we've become a bit spoilt with this particular team, because obviously, you know, when people are from other teams are looking at us, like Thierry Henry and Ali McCoist and people like that, they are waxing lyrical about this team as being one of the best teams they've ever seen. So, like, when they talk about Premier League teams, this team and this era that we've got under Klopp over the last 3 years, with Salah, Bobby and Firmino playing up front, like, that is one of the generation's greatest squads that have been put together. They're saying that we're not doing that, because obviously we got to live through these games and we're quite nervous about it. But I feel that we are, you know, sometimes as teams play, you know how it happens, like, this is easy, I'm going to switch off for 2 seconds. And obviously that's when they come back at us, but they are still human. So we can't expect them to drum teams, you know, unless you're playing a small club like Arsenal. Find a way to go. drum them 5-0 every time. You know, I haven't seen anyone that actually made me worry. Trey,
that's what we can see, is that they're actually capable of getting the 5-0s game after game after game. And that's at the moment is really exciting to watch, because actually yesterday and previous games as well, they could have got up to 7-8, 9-0, and they're proper capable.
Think of the Salah chance early on yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. And he missed, and that's, but at least he's getting them in as well now, because I think last season there was a lot of missing, and it was just like, it was a bit, he looked a bit fed up. This season he's there again, and he's ready, and he wants to prove himself, which is great. But I will say one thing about Liverpool this season. I feel like there's so much excitement about the team. You know, like you were saying just now with like Thierry Henry and Nani McCoys yesterday, there's a real excitement about them. And that excitement doesn't exist for Chelsea or for City. There isn't an excitement. Chelsea, you know, we all believe they're going to win and the league. And so, well, people believe they may win the league. They look like that's where they're going. But there isn't an excitement about them. I don't feel they've got the soul that Liverpool have got at all. And people... yeah, there's a really, I just feel like Liverpool are a really exciting team to watch. And what's even more exciting about that is that it is the same team that we've had for the past couple of years. And if anything, they're maturing and gelling even more. And that's kind of, I think that's what's keeping them up there. So there's still the amazing quality of Chelsea and City.
It's a familiarity of the team.
Chelsea and City are so... I went and saw Chelsea a little while ago, and I just thought, that there's just something that isn't the same as Liverpool. Liverpool are really special in that way, and it kind of, it's catching. So even people who don't support Liverpool, it's quite easy to warm to them because of something about them which is very endearing. And I think that's actually keeping them up there at the moment.
But it would, all right, on the other side of the love fest that we have here with our team, let's represent some of the fans who
but we have already said that they're inconsistent and they're getting draws and they're not always
exactly winning. So if we're looking at, like, you know, the bad results that we've had, obviously we're still we're still,
it's not because we're not capable though, that's from complacency.
Yeah, I think that the other fans would actually be worried that, you know, the form and that we have will dip maybe again, or the fact that we haven't bought any midfielders or other players to be able to boost up the squad is going to come to bite us, especially when it comes to, you know,
We need to buy in January, that's for sure.
Okay, to go now. Now, Suki doesn't believe that we're going to buy anyone, I think.
I don't think they will either, Suki. Do you know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to announce Salah's new contract like they did at the other window with Henry, which is great, but we don't want that. We're not going to buy that as a signing. That's not a signing.
I'm just trying to be realistic and see how Klopp works. Does Klopp stick a player in straight away when they buy somebody? No. So
it's not going to be an instant.
Yeah, exactly. If you think the reason we're buying somebody is to replace Mo, Mane and Keita for the African Cup of Nations, that's not the reason, because Klopp doesn't buy somebody and just sticks and put them straight in the team. So he's not, you're not going to get a replacement. I feel maybe there is a hope that Egypt just won't go far, because normally Egypt don't go too far.
Maybe
they're just thinking, oh, it's only one or two games, we can survive without them for a couple of games. I don't know, but it is a risk. We're taking a risk, especially.
But it's two games that we're, if we look at the games that are,
two games, 6 points though, and
yeah,
we win them anyway.
Who are we playing those two games?
I'm just gonna find out.
Oh, it's Crystal Palace, isn't it?
Yeah. Light work. So
I've got my ticket already for that one.
Ooh. So yeah, we're looking at Crystal Palace, and I think. No, they'll be there for the Chelsea game, right? If I'm right.
Isn't it just the January games that
right.
they're at?
So if we're looking at in January, finally my computer's caught up with me, so give me enough time there. So 2nd of January we've got Chelsea. They'll be there for that, I'm assuming, hopefully. So the games that in question are Brentford at home, Palace away, and possibly Leicester. I think they should be able to
wipe the floor with those teams.
Leicester's
not doing well at the moment. It was a tricky game, but they're not doing well.
But I wouldn't be more worried about, if I'm honest, the Leicester game. Brentford, I think that we've got to beat them with them now. I think that there's a bit of
I'll beat Brentford and Palace, definitely.
Palace, I'm I think sure. that we should be able to beat them. But it's not gonna be easy. Obviously the Leicester game. But like, part of that, if we can get through those games, if we can get out of those games with I don't know if we win them all, but if the very least we're coming out of there those games with 10 points, would that make you feel a bit more confident?
I don't know. I'm not gonna comment on them until it happens. I don't know what situation we're gonna be in. I don't know how much momentum we're gonna build by then. I'm not gonna.
Because you can win or lose the league by then. If you haven't.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get through. Let's not worry about that just yet. Let's get through the Christmas period. There's a lot of games coming up. We all know this is a busy period. We just need to try and make sure we're gonna pick up the points this month. And look, the last few weeks, last 4 to 6 weeks. Is exciting for me. We're building momentum. We're looking good. But like I said, bar that West Ham game, we're winning. We're scoring 3, 4, or 5 goals consistently. So that's a good sign. We've got players we can rotate in midfield. We've got Keita and Bobby to come back in the next few weeks. Minamino's getting minutes. Ox has shown he can play. So let's see where we are at the end of December. And then
I like this Premier League answer that Suki's given. Very well trained and polished answer there. Has someone been briefing you from the Liverpool press team?
I've got Hendo on dial, mate.
he sounded like Hendo's literally just trained him up. This is what you say when he asks.
Is that what you want me to say? Sorry, Hendo's just at my house chilling. We got to play some FIFA.
He gives you the Mr. Miyagi nod, like, yeah. that's right. All right, let's move on to the Wolves game just really quickly. Guys, obviously, let's just get your team predictions for the big game on Saturday, I believe it is, on 3 o'clock. Yet again, nonsensical that 3 o'clock you can't
get. These 3 o'clock games.
Absolutely.
I feel he's going to play the same team because they'll rest everybody.
I think so as well, actually. In the Champions exactly League. The same.
Oh, this is nice. All right. Okay. So let's go
changing
through.
It.
Let's go. Oh, I mean, he might put in Ox.
No, but he's got Champions League to boxing.
That's true. All right. So let's look at the scores, score predictions. I'll start off with you, Maria.
Oh, against Wolves. I'm going to go for my standard 3-0.
Three.
And I'm going to say
4-0. What was that?
4-0.
Oh, 4-0.
I would just also, before I give my prediction, to be able to remind that fan from that Wolves has said that they've conned us out of 40 million. What are you saying now? So I just need to wax lyrical about Jota for a minute. Like, I know we spoke about him just briefly. But Jota, to me, I think that he's moving with a trajectory. He's moving into the same level as Salah. You know, I don't worry when he actually gets.
No, I think so.
I'm not saying world class. Sorry, my bad.
You've got short term memory again. You've got.
I'm saying when it comes to it, he's not world class. Like, he's not world class, but I would say
he's good for a few games. But he's been carried away,
mate. He's been for the last. If we're basing it over the last 5 games,
yeah, exactly. He's been there. Short term memory. He was good. For
that's
five
what I'm.
Games.
That's what I'm saying there.
Now look, Jota's been good, and I've been really. Like I said, I issued an apology earlier. I didn't think he's good enough to start for us, but he's shown me he can last few games. Mm-hmm. So I just hope he can continue it. He's not on the same trajectory as Saladay.
We need to see how he does in the next few games.
Yeah.
Oh, you lot are still holding off on him? They're still non-believers.
I'm still excited to see Bobby back in.
Yeah. So, all right, okay. Here's a question. If Bobby's fit now, let's say, for the Wolves game, let's say in theory, if Bobby is fit now for the Wolves game, you know, like starting trouble. So who would you go with?
Because it's both Wolves, fit. I'd go Jota. But if it was anybody else, I'd go Bobby.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it should be that way.
I do love Bobby.
He's got something to prove as well, hasn't he?
I think you've got... Right, here's where I lean towards Jota. Because Jota is concerned about scoring goals. Like, he's not trying to set everyone up.
Like, Bobby scored this season, mate.
I'm not saying Bobby's... washed in any form of way. You know how much I love Bobby. But what is it? It's refreshing for us to be able to have two people. Because Mane, I can't really... Mane, there was a period where Mane was actually just on it, like trying to score. I feel like he's just doing other things now. I think he's just, I don't know. You know, he's the weaker out of those three at the moment. When Jota gets the ball, and when the ball's going to Jota, I always assume from whatever angle that guy's going to score. Yeah, Salah still surprises me to this day, but like in a close, when there's like three defenders around him and it's just a one shot, I'm going to go with Jota. I see what the team thought about that one. Thank you.
I think you're forgetting Jota's missed some sitters this season as well.
He's warming up.
He's warming up, but Salah's been on it this season.
I'm not downplaying Salah in any form of way. You know, we are very lucky to have a player of his standard, and he definitely.
I would have agreed with you.
Seventh in the world. It's ridiculous.
I would have agreed with you in the summer. I think from watching this season, I think Salah's finishing has been better than Jota's this season.
It's a nice problem to have. So let's move on to the AC Milan game.
Wait, what was your score prediction?
My bad. Sorry, I just tried to
trying to avoid it.
I'll go 4-0.
Oh, okay.
I don't really see what Wolves really have to offer. It's famous last words, but I don't really see what they have. They haven't really done it. They're not the same team that used to like strike fear into people's hearts. I feel like they're in them. In the middle of a change. I don't really see, how they can actually affect us. And I think that on the left hand side, if now that Robbo's playing back to his normal best, I think that I'm not really worried about Traore running past him. I don't know if he's injured or if he's playing. I'm not sure. I haven't been keeping up to date with him. But
had a couple of bad results, I think.
Yeah. I think Nuno will be going back there sooner rather than later. I'll tell you. Let's go into the AC Milan game. Give me your teams, because this is going to be a bit more difficult to predict.
It's going to be the same team or similar to who he played against Porto last time. So I think you'll see some of those juniors come in. I think he'll start Minamino, Origi, Ox.
Say the juniors and then say Ox?
Disrespect.
He played terrible. He played some of the juniors, didn't he?
No, I'm joking.
he'll play Konate and Matip at the back. Although maybe I think Matip should get a rest. I don't know when's Gomez back? I'm not sure when Gomez is back.
I haven't heard anything about when he's back.
It'll be Kelleher in goal, I imagine, again.
I've been quite impressed with him. Like, I've really been impressed with him. I think that he's coming along really nicely.
Did Kelleher play against Porto? I can't remember.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he did. Oh, did he? Or was that the Carabao?
Kelleher
played. I can't remember, actually.
Yeah. No, he played against Porto. I think. I'll have to double check now. We'll have to.
No, it was Alisson. It was Alisson.
Oh, my bad.
So he played the Carabao. He played Zubikas and Nico. He played Morton. That was it. Tyler Morton in midfield.
That's one to look out for, 100%. He's been impressing me with the little, cameos he's been playing.
Yeah.
Maria, have you given your?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm with Suki on. It won't be, the team he's playing for the league games at the moment. It'll be a mixture of some of the junior ones and people like Origi and Ox and Minamino.
I think he'll still want the window for momentum, so he doesn't want to give
definitely
away.
yeah he does. I mean, there'll definitely be a few in there in the mix who are from the first team.
He'll play Salah. I bet Salah plays.
He'll play Salah, but I think he'll bring him off.
Yeah.
All right, score predictions for that game.
I'm gonna go 2-0.
Our last Milan result, do you remember?
It was 3-2.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Was that away?
I mean, they're fighting to still stay in.
Anfield.
So,
that was at Anfield. Okay. I mean, we want to win, but it doesn't matter overall, does it? I reckon it'll be something like that. It'll be like a Yeah, I'd go for another 3-2.
Actually, I'm going to go 2-1. 2-1.
It's difficult to say what bloody team he's going to put out because I've got a feeling that he wants to keep momentum, especially when it comes to this Christmas period. I think that you know, you can't what, have and a
play,
loss.
Do you think he'll play the our main team?
I don't think it'll be the main team, but I think it's not going to be far off here. I think the strikers will play, maybe Salah, maybe.
No, he'll definitely play. He'll play Minamino, I think.
He'll play Minamino.
You might play Jota. I can see him.
I think he'll play Sadio. I think it'll be Sadio. I don't think he'll put risk Jota. I think it'll be Sadio, Minamino actually, and Origi. I think that they're start off, and obviously the other two on the bench. I don't expect to see Salah on there. Midfield, we have to kind of really be careful with that because literally you can't have any more injuries. And the guys are playing really well.
I think he'll play James Milner, actually.
Milner will play. Ox will play.
Yeah, Milner always comes out for these kind of games.
I think he'll rest Thiago. I think with that, with the AC Milan game, I'm expecting it to be... I'm probably going to go with it like a 2-0, actually, to be honest with you. They seem to leave themselves quite open. And I think that... remember, the other three who are coming in up front. Or two that are coming up front, have got a point to prove. So it's not like he's going to just play any old player, you know, person just to fill in spaces. But I think that Klopp's always plays people that I don't expect him to play because he wants to keep the momentum. And the thing is that winning is a habit and winning is momentum. And if you just lose one game, it's just like, I don't know, just don't. I think that you kind of have to keep winning because then it keeps that momentum going, it keeps that good feeling going, keeps that energy going. Because after AC Milan, then we've got Villa, and that's not an easy game in any way. So
we're going to beat Villa.
Well, I don't know. It's homecoming. It is the homecoming.
No,
right. So we've all caught up now, and we'll make sure that we are back next week to be able to ramble and talk about all the things we get up to in our Christmas pre-Christmas. Gatherings, and we need to actually organise one ourselves. Hopefully my throat will be better by then, because I won't be drinking and partying in South Beach. And until then, we will catch you, and we'll see you. We'll speak to you next. Thanks for listening. Peace.